Where are you going? There's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
President Trump denounced hate and claimed his rhetoric brings people together.
I think my rhetoric is a very, it brings people together.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
I'd like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you. An invasion of our country. That's what it is. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. Very fine people on both sides. This is a movement built on love. I'm kidding.
Well, it was another super chill weekend with the President of the United States retweeting a deranged conspiracy theory accusing a previous president of murder.
Sex criminal Jeffrey Epstein was found dead in his New York jail cell. Now, apparently, they say, and I guess they would know, though they can't say how, committed suicide, which is surprising because 3 weeks ago he was found unconscious with marks on his neck. How the marks got there, authorities did not share with the public, and yet Epstein was left alone and not closely monitored. Now, maybe he was just in one of those prisons that really value inmate privacy. lovely. Then again, Epstein knew a lot of powerful and important people, including Alan Dershowitz, former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, Prince Andrew, as well as President Bill Clinton and President Donald Trump. It is a who's who of who's Jeffrey Epstein. I've never met Jeffrey Epstein. This has set off a wild wave of conspiracy theories online. The sort of stuff that only unstable tinfoil hat loons could possibly believe. So Donald Trump, because after a few hours, Trump fans are coming around. Because after a few hours after Epstein's body was found, Trump shared a tweet and a video that claimed without any evidence that former President Bill Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton were responsible for Epstein's death. Really? Really? That's your theory? I'm not saying the Clintons don't have any power. They could definitely get a reservation at any restaurant in New York City. Party of four, 7 o'clock on a Saturday, maybe not. But masterminding a scheme to assassinate a high-profile prisoner in a maximum security federal custody. They couldn't even mastermind a visit to Wisconsin. Trump clearly thinks this is the only logical answer.
Follow me down the rabbit hole here, okay? Who had the most to gain from Epstein's death? Besides me, who was on videotape partying with him and young women. And who controls all federal prisons? The president, Bill Clinton. Really? What? Me? How? Didn't they hear what I said on that bus? That's insane.
Yes, it is insane, Mr. President. The President of the United States is pushing a dangerous and completely unfounded murder conspiracy theory about his predecessor. He defended a conspiracy theory about the Clintons killing Epstein that the president himself retweeted, which was originally posted by comedian Terrence K. Williams.
He's a very highly respected conservative pundit. He's a big Trump fan. That was a retweet. That wasn't from me. That was from him. But he's a man who has half a million followers, a lot of followers, and he's respected.
First of all, it was from you. A retweet is from you. That's how it works. What? I didn't stab you. That was somebody else's knife. I re-stabbed you. And by the way, the guy whose knife I used, a very respected stabber. Second of all, Trump doubled down on the,
it could have been Bill.
You really think the Clintons are involved in Jeffrey Epstein's death? I have no idea. The question you have to ask is, did Bill Clinton go to the island? Because Epstein had an island. That was not a good place, as I understand it, and I was never there. You have to ask, did Bill Clinton go to the island? That's the question. If you find that out, you're going to know a lot.
Did Bill Clinton go to the island? Did Hillary hide her emails on that island? Could that be the island where Barack Obama was really born? I'm not saying that all three of them killed Jeffrey Epstein. I'm just saying, did all three of them kill Jeffrey Epstein? Sorry, I can't hear you.
He launched his political career promoting the false notion that Barack Obama wasn't born here and built his 2016 campaign by promoting a number of unfounded conspiracy theories.
I watched when the World Trade Center came tumbling down. And I watched in Jersey City, New Jersey, where thousands and thousands of people were cheering as that building was coming down.
Do you accept that President Obama was born in the United States,
no,
is not
know.
Muslim?
I really don't know. Do you know that Hillary Clinton was a Bertha?
Father was with Lee Harvey Oswald prior to Oswald being, shot. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. What is this, right prior to his being shot? And nobody even brings it up.
You mentioned President Obama being the founder of ISIS. What did you mean by that? And Hillary Clinton, the co-founder.
I meant exactly that. He's the founder of ISIS.
But you have to be a citizen to vote. You have places where people just walk in and vote.
And you look at the people that are registered dead, illegal, and two states, and some cases maybe three states, we have a lot to look into.
Trump has changed many things in his life, but there are a few constants. He's always been a racist, he's always been a con artist, and he's always been a conspiracy theorist. Trump has paranoid fantasies about everything from climate change to government surveillance to the food he eats. According to the book Fire and Fury, he had a longtime fear of being poisoned, one reason why he liked to eat at McDonald's. Nobody knew he was coming, and the food was safely pre-made. Okay, first of all, at this point, I think they know you're coming. Also, it really hammers home how anti-science our president is, that he eats fast food to avoid being poisoned.
My body is a temple. Two fillet of fish, please.
And during a 2016 town hall on CNN, Trump basically admitted it to Anderson Cooper.
I'm a person that I like cleanliness, I like clean. And the one thing about the big franchises, you have to have a certain, you know, because of the importance. One bad hamburger, you can destroy McDonald's. One bad hamburger, you take Wendy's and all these other places and they're out of business. You can't do it. So I'm a very clean person. I like cleanliness. And I think you're better off going there than maybe someplace that you have no idea where the food's coming from.
Of course, Trump launched his political career by fabricating a racist conspiracy theory about President Obama's birthplace. And it wasn't just that Trump accused Obama of being born in Kenya. He also invented an insane fantasy where Obama had fake documents. And at one point, he even claimed his own investigators were discovering evidence that proved Obama was hiding the truth.
3 weeks ago, when I started,
I thought he was probably born in this country, and now I really have a much bigger doubt than I did before. He doesn't have a birth certificate, or he hasn't shown it. He has what's called a certificate of live birth. That is something that's easy to get. When you want a birth certificate, it's very hard to get.
But it's considered the equivalent. And in the
it's not the equivalent.
In the state of Hawaii, they said they have
Meredith,
seen this document.
It
is evidence that he was...
I saw his. I read it very carefully. Doesn't have a serial number, doesn't have a signature. There's not even a signature. I have people that actually have been studying it, and they cannot believe what they're finding.
You have people now down
Absolutely.
There searching, I mean, in Hawaii?
Absolutely, and they cannot believe what they're finding.
Trump even went so far as to claim that the contemporaneous newspaper accounts of Obama's birth in local Hawaii newspapers had been faked.
There were two announcements the week he was born in both Honolulu newspapers saying that he was born. Okay? That is impossible. That is impossible to make happen if he had not been born in the hospital. So I just dismissed it. But you made a big deal out of it.
Bill, I grew up with Wall Street geniuses. What they do in terms of fraud and how they change documents. And I'll tell you something. If you notice, those dates were 3 days later. And here's what I ask people. Who puts announcements? Here are two poor people. A man and a woman with no money, they have a baby. There's announcements in the newspaper.
The grandparents
Excuse me.
Did it.
The grandparents. Nelson Rockefeller doesn't put announcements.
Sure, there are birth announcements all the time.
I've never seen one.
Really?
No, I've never
they're
seen
common.
One. I've never seen one.
Then, of course, there's the racist conspiracy theory that Trump has repeated since he was elected, that millions of undocumented immigrants are voting illegally in states like California. In fact, he just repeated it last month in a speech to a group of young conservatives, and it barely registered as a blip on the news because we're so numb to it now.
And then those illegals get out and vote because they vote anyway. Don't kid yourself. Those numbers in California and numerous other states, they're rigged. You got people voting that shouldn't be voting. They vote many times, not just twice, not just three times. They vote. It's like a circle. They come back, they put a new hat on. They come back, they put a new shirt on. And in many cases, they don't even do that. You know what's going on.
Trump's penchant for peddling insane conspiracy theories isn't just a weird personality quirk. It has real consequences for real people. For example, he's repeatedly given voice to the racist and anti-Semitic conspiracy theory that Democrats and the Jewish philanthropist George Soros are somehow funding a plot to have refugees invade the United States by organizing caravans of migrants.
The Democrats want caravans. They like the caravans. A lot of people say, I wonder who started that caravan.
Do you know how the caravan started? Does everybody know what this means? Huh? I think the Democrats had something to do with it.
Do you think somebody's funding a caravan? Do you think everybody's paying for a caravan?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't. I don't know who, but I wouldn't be surprised. A lot of people say yes.
I don't know who, but a lot of people say yes. He always tries to do this move where he pretends he doesn't know anything, but a lot of people are saying it. I'm starting to think these people are just other Trump personalities. Golf Trump says it's the Democrats. Sweaty Trump says it's Soros. And Empty Desk Trump says, cheese! Of course, Trump's not alone in peddling this racist paranoia. The right-wing media outlets he loves and echoes constantly repeat deranged theories about invading refugees, the same language used by white supremacists. In fact, multiple Fox hosts have defended the president's use of the word invasion to describe desperate refugees seeking asylum, including Fox host Jeanine Pirro, who used a very bizarre analogy on her show Saturday night.
Stop blaming the president for this stuff. Even the guy said, before President Trump, I didn't like the people coming in. So let's stop blaming
Trump. He used that rhetoric. That's what makes it dangerous.
Oh, come on.
We all use the same language. We speak English. So what?
I don't call illegal immigrants invaders.
Jonathan Harris. a lot of people do. You know, I watch cartoons. They have invaders, too. I mean, you know, from Mars. Well, stop with this craziness.
You can't say stop with the craziness right after you say, I watch cartoons and they have invaders from Mars. By the way, the same weekend Trump retweeted his deranged Epstein theory, he was in the Hamptons for a series of fundraisers where tickets ran as high as $250,000, which sums up so much of our politics right now. A paranoid president spreading unhinged racist conspiracies while raking in millions from a crowd of mega-rich supporters who don't care as long as they can line their own pockets. Meanwhile, most sane people are saying,
stop with this craziness!
came right on the heels of Trump's visits to Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas. In a time of national tragedy, we look to the president, of course, to console a nation.
Some of President Trump's own aides are conceding his visits to two cities in mourning didn't go as planned after new video shows him bragging about crowd sizes while at a hospital in El Paso.
I was here 3 months ago. We made a speech and we had a what was the name of the arena? That place was packed, right? And that was some crowd.
Thank you.
And we had twice the number outside. And then he had this crazy Beto. Beto had like 400 people in a parking lot. They said his crowd was wonderful.
Wow. Look, we all know how much Trump struggles to do the bare minimum of being a president, but it's still genuinely shocking just how much he struggles to do the bare minimum of being a person. Because just consider the thought process that happened there. He visited a hospital filled with victims of a mass shooting and thought to himself, remember that other time when I was the center of attention and it was better? And then he thought, do you think anyone else remembers that? Then he thought, I should remind them, right? Then he thought, great idea. Then he thought, thank you. Then he thought, Ivanka. Then he thought, no time! And then he said it. And he was happy with how it sounded.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. My lamp beside the golden door.
Would you also agree that Emma Lazarus's words etched on the Statue of Liberty, give me your tired, your poor, are also part of the American ethos?
They certainly are. Give me your tired and your poor who can stand on their own 2 feet and who will not become a public charge. That plaque was put on the Statue of Liberty at almost the same time as the first public charge law was passed. Very interesting timing.
Although you mentioned the American dream is built on this idea that this is a place where you can come and
it's
build a life.
Starting in October, poor immigrants will be denied permanent legal status if they are deemed likely to use government benefit programs. The plan was unveiled by head of Immigration Services Ken Cuccinelli. The Cooch defended his policy targeting Latinos when asked if it would target Latinos.
Why shouldn't the Latino community feel targeted by this?
The same question might have been asked when my Italian immigrants were coming, immigrant ancestors were coming. If we had been having this conversation 100 years ago, it would have applied to more Italians.
Luckily, we're not having this conversation 100 years ago, or else I wouldn't be up here today to pull up the ladder between he and my family. Suck it, Hispanics. You've been cooched! Then a reporter asked Cuccinelli if this new rule goes against the poem on the Statue of Liberty, and he said this.
I'm certainly not prepared to take anything down off the Statue of Liberty. We have a long history of being one of the most welcoming nations in the world. I do not think by any means we're ready to take anything off the Statue of Liberty.
We don't want to take anything away from that poem. We just had ultimately just want to add one word. Psych. Wow. Trump. Wow. Trump. Wow. Trump wasn't at the White House today. He was at his golf resort in Bedminster, New Jersey. And so instead of the spacious White House lawn, he held the press conference about 6 inches from the whirling blades. And he had this to yell about his new immigration policy.
I don't think it's fair to have the American taxpayer. You know, it's about America first. I don't think it's fair to have the American taxpayer paying for people to come into the United States.
American taxpayers should only cover the important stuff, like my helicopter rides to and from the Gulf.
Emily Lazarus's poem on the Statue of Liberty here, because it seems that the president, or at least this administration, really has very strong views about that particular poem, because I want you to listen to Stephen Miller in his own words.
I don't want to get off into a whole thing about history here, but the Statue of Liberty is a symbol of liberty enlightening the world. It's a symbol of American liberty lighting the world. The poem that you're referring to that was added later is not actually part of the original Statue of Liberty.
All right, so they seem like they have a little...
He should just stop on air.
They seem like they have like a beef with the words of the Statue of Liberty, because they're not shying away from it, and Ken Cuccinelli doubled down on his interpretation of what that means, saying that it, you know, the wretched part of it means, oh, that was in reference to Europeans, because if you weren't a noble back then, that it was, that you were wretched. It seems like it's more than just... You know,
I think it's not necessarily the Statue of Liberty, the poem there, as much as what Basil said, the elitism there, and this anti-immigration sentiment that they're using.
Washington Post, President Trump has now made more than 12,000 false or misleading claims since he took office 2.5 years ago. 12,000. If Trump's nose grew every time he told a lie, he could use it as a zip line straight to Vladimir Putin's bedroom. 12,000. We figured it out. At 10 seconds per lie, if you were to read all the lies he's told aloud, it would take 33 hours to get through them all. Trump has now told even more whoppers than he's eaten, and that's a lot. On Friday, President Trump left Washington for a 10-day vacation, which he insists is not a vacation. So make that 12,001. Thanks for the song
from Gush, Irving, Berlin, XTC, and Golden Earring.
And thanks to
Sarah, Sanders, Rod, Serling, Rudy, Giuliani, Ali, Belshi, Seth, Myers, Stephen, Colbert,
Chris,
Matthews, Anderson, Kupel, O'Reilly, Janine, Piero, Oliver, Sasha, Ingvar, Ken, Cuccinelli, Stephen Miller,
and Jimmy
Kimmel.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.